I thank the Lord I was saved when I was here last. I kept saved all the time I was gone. I'm still saved, still living for Jesus. I thank the Lord for His blessings upon me. I would that everybody could have it like I've got it. That's just what I'd like. If you have it like I've got it, you're doing well. Praise God. And you can have it. You can have it like I've got it. Praise the Lord. I'm thinking about the glorious gospel. I've been all lit up with this today. The wonderful gospel. Paul said in Romans chapter 1, he said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greeks. All nations are the same. In the gospel, we're all one in Christ Jesus. The gospel. The word gospel means good news. Glad tidings. Oh, dear ones, we have lots of wonderful news. Don't you like to hear news? One scripture says in Proverbs, it says something about as cold waters are to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. And so I thank the Lord we've had good news. The gospel the angel told the shepherds out on the plain. It says, behold, I bring you glad tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Oh, dear ones, we have good tidings. We have a wonderful, wonderful message, and I thank the Lord for the gospel. I'm glad that I heard the gospel, and it did something for me, because I believe, maybe it said something in Ephesians, the first chapter, after you heard the gospel of your salvation, you believed. Oh, dear ones, today I'm glad for the gospel, the good news, the good tidings. I'm glad I heard the gospel. Like one song says, I one time lived in sin and did not know my Lord. With all the worldly things, I once was one accord. I heard the gospel preached so rugged, stern, and true. I turned my head and said, goodbye, O world, I'm through. And dear ones, that's what we can do when we hear the gospel. Have you heard the gospel tonight? Has it affected you? Has it done something? It's good news. God loves you. He cares for you. He sent a Savior to die for you. He paid the price for your salvation. You can have the victory we were singing about a while ago. Oh, dear ones, I want to notice first over here in Isaiah 52, and it says here, how beautiful are the feet on the mountains, are the feet of him that brings glad tidings. How beautiful. Isaiah 52 and 7. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings. That's that publishes peace. Praise the Lord. This is a prophecy of our day. Thank the Lord. The gospel day, dear ones. The gospel day dawned and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Oh, praise the Lord. I'm so happy tonight. I just want to just praise the Lord for the gospel. Oh, it's brand new to me tonight. Just like if I'd heard it just yesterday. It's a brand new. It says it bringeth good tidings of good. Glory be to God. Everything that I've found in salvation and the gospel is good. It is worthwhile. It is beneficial. It's helpful. It has been a means of saving my soul and giving me peace and gladness. Oh, glory be to God. I'm so glad that God loves me. He said over there in Jeremiah 31 and 2, the Lord has appeared unto me of old, saying, behold, I loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I sought you. Listen, God, He gives us news. I love you. I care for you. I loved you before the world was ever formed. I loved you. And you know, if we know God loves us, if we know that He cares, it helps us to be able to trust Him. I don't know what people think, but I've been assured in my life that God loves me and He cares for me and He's interested in me. Oh yes, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of Him that bring good tidings, that publishes peace. Oh, you know, there's a minister or a servant of God, a handmaid of the Lord, however it is, if they preach in the gospel, the real gospel, dear ones, that's a wonderful thing. That's the greatest thing you could ever do, is to be a herald of the gospel, the good news. Preach the gospel and publishes peace. Praise the Lord. Oh, he says over there in Isaiah 57, he said, I will bring, create the fruit of his lips. Peace, peace to him that's afar off and him that's not. Oh, he's peace. He's reaching out. Peace, I want peace with you. I'll forgive you of your transgressions. I'll blot out your iniquities. I'll make you whole. I'll heal your soul. I'll make you happy. Dear ones, that's what the good news. I'm glad for the good news of the gospel. Oh, people wandering out there in sin and ungodliness. Oh, there's something else there. The watchman shall lift up the voice. With the voice together shall they sing, for they shall see eye to eye. I tell you, you get the gospel, the real gospel, it brings people together. It brings them into harmony and unity and fellowship. It breaks down the middle wall of partition. It causes people to love one another and to bear one with another. Oh, I'm so glad for the gospel. The whole gospel. See eye to eye when the Lord will bring again Zion. Bless the Lord. Let's notice in Isaiah 40 another expression there. Oh, it says it starts out about prophesying about John the Baptist. And now the voice of him that cries in the wilderness, they prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted. That's John the Baptist. He was come to get people ready, for the gospel was coming. The truth was coming. Jesus was coming. And so this is a prophecy of that. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. The voice said, cry, what shall I cry? It says, all flesh is as grass, and the glory of man as a flower of grass, and the grass withereth, and the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people's grass, the grass withereth, and the flower thereof fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. And Peter says that in 1 Peter 1, it speaks about being born again by, not by corruptible seed, but by incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is grass, and all glory of man is a flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof fadeth away. But he that in, but the word of our God shall stand forever. And this, listen, is what he said. You read over there, last verse of 1 Peter 1. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. It's the word of God, dear ones. The God's expressions, God's message to the world. I want you to have peace. I want you to have happiness. I want you to have hope. I want you to have victory. I want you to be blessed in your soul and your life. Oh, praise God. And then he goes on down and he says, O Zion, that bringest good tidings. Get thee up into the high mountain. Oh, Jerusalem, that bringest good tidings. Lift up your voice with strength. Even lift it up. Be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God. You know, this is a message that needs to go to all humanity. Jesus says this gospel shall be preached in all the world as a witness to all nations. Then shall the end come. This gospel, not another gospel, as Paul said in Galatians, the first chapter. I'm so sorry, writing to those people, that you have turned to another gospel. Oh, there is, which he said, is not another gospel, but there be some that pervert the gospel of Christ. May the Lord help us today. Oh, this Zion, get up into the high mountain. Now there's another translation says, O thou that tellest good tidings to Zion. All right, Zion's going to tell the good tidings, and then Zion needs to have the tidings told to her. Praise the Lord, the people of God. I'm always ready to hear the gospel. I've been saved going on 50 years, but I'm so glad when I hear the gospel. The gospel priest. Oh, the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek, and come down to the American and the Japanese and the Chinese and everybody. Praise the Lord, dear ones. I'm so happy tonight I just could just rejoice. Oh, I'm glad for the gospel. I'm glad. Now, there's another place in prophecy in Nahum. If I could get hold of that. I thank the Lord. Yeah, Nahum 1 and 15. Behold, upon the mountains the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace. That's where it is. It is a published, you know, peace. The peace of God, dear ones, is a wonderful thing. Do you have peace in your soul tonight? Do you know how to trust in God? You know, it's a wonderful thing. This is part of the gospel. Trust in God and be of good cheer. That's a peace. That's the gospel. It's the gospel of peace. And Paul said in the 6th chapter of Ephesians, part of the armor that he wants us to wear is a shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Praise the Lord. We'll put the shoes on and just be ready to preach. Be ready. Paul said to Timothy, he says, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Oh, yes, dear one, may the Lord help us. Oh, do you know the gospel tonight? How long has it been since you just vibrated under the gospel? Oh, dear one, it's a wonderful thing to hear the gospel go forth in love, in humility, from a holy life. Oh, dear ones, Lord, help us. I just thank the Lord for the gospel that brings good tidings, good news. Oh, it's so wonderful. One man up in Oregon years ago, he was seeking the Lord. He said he even went out under the Oregon skies looking to see. He's read in the Bible where it says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. And he said he went out under the Oregon skies seeing if he could find God. Oh, it seemed like he couldn't find him. He read in the Bible about being born again. He wanted to be born again. He was 65 years old when he came to the altar at Jefferson, Oregon. And he bowed down and he began to call on the Lord. And the saints gathered around. And finally he prayed until peace came in his heart. And he knew the Lord had forgiven him. And that by the word, they were encouraging him with the scriptures, the gospel. Praise the Lord. And he said, now, he says, I want to be born again. And Sister Opal Wilson, Brother Austin Wilson's first wife, she said, Brother Weir, if you know your sins are forgiven, and you know the Lord has accepted you, you are born again. He said, that was good news for me. That was good news for me. He was so glad to know that he was born again. Oh, dear ones, can't you see that we can, you know, that new birth is a marvelous thing. Jesus said to Nicodemus, Nicodemus came to him and said, we know you're a teacher, come from God, do all these miracles. He said, except a man be born again, cannot see the kingdom of God. Except a man be born. Oh, Nicodemus said, well, now how can you be born when you're old? Can you go back in your mother's womb and be born again? He said, no. He that is born of the Word and the Spirit, that's what you want. That's a spiritual birth. Don't marvel that I said you must be born again. You know, that is a wonderful thing. There are many people that would like to do things over, to live their life over, and go back to the land of beginning again. But you know, you can do that in Christ. Christ can give you a born again experience. You can be born from above. Praise the Lord. Oh, dear ones, I'm so glad I don't have to just go after the flesh and material things and all of these things. They don't satisfy anyway. I'm glad I've been born from above. I've been born of the Spirit of God. He's filled my soul and my life, and He's real to me. Oh, dear ones, it's a wonderful thing. Thank you, Jesus, for the wonderful new birth. The being born in the Zion of this, of Zion, it shall be said in Psalms 87. This of that man was born there. Oh, yes, praise the Lord. When the Lord writes up the people, oh, I'm glad. And we can have our names written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. And you don't have to have a doubt about it. You can know it's there. I know it. Sing that song number 87. I know. My name is there. Isn't it wonderful? Oh, this is good news. Why you can have your name written in heaven. Yes. Praise the Lord. And you can know it. Oh, I thank the Lord. It is wonderful. Oh, Zion. That tells us good tidings. Let's get a little more over here in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I'm so glad for the gospel. I tell you, dear ones, the good news, I'm so glad. You know, the Apostle Paul, he fought this thing. He just hated it. Those people, those Christians, they ought to be wiped off the face of the earth. He just didn't want to have any. And you know, he's working at it, trying to get it done. And all of a sudden, one day, as he's walking along the road, going in toward Damascus there, getting ready to persecute some more of those Christians, a bright light swooped down and struck him. And he fell to the ground, and he couldn't see anything, but he heard a voice saying, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute? Well, who are you, Lord?" "I am Jesus whom you persecute." And when he said that, it just dawned on Paul, Saul, "I've been fighting the truth. I've been going against the Jesus is he Lord, what do you want me to do?" Surrender. Give over. You're nothing. You're just kicking against the pricks. What he told him. It's hard for you to kick against pricks. Fighting against the truth. There are many people today just hammering their head against the truth instead of humbling themselves. Oh, if they could just hear the gospel. Oh, like that man out in California. I never got to meet him, but I heard about him. He was a man who was down on the streets of San Francisco, living a terrible life, living an awful life, dope and all kinds of stuff. And he was at his wit's end. He was at the end, and he didn't know what. He was in an awful shape. But he came into a mission down in San Francisco. And someone preached the gospel, the simple gospel. He humbled himself and he went down to an altar of prayer, and God saved that man and made him a child of God. Oh, it's happened over and over. When the gospel, when you hear the word of God and you know that you're not right and you know that you need help, give heed to the gospel and obey the gospel. Paul said in Romans 10, said they have not all obeyed the gospel. You've got to obey. Jesus says, repent and believe the gospel. That's what he told them. Repent, straighten up, quit doing the wrong things, start doing the right things, quit that way of life. Be humble and meek and lowly and believe the gospel. Believe the word of God. Oh, I see. It says over here, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. It says here, seeing we have received this ministry, we faint not. We renounce the hidden things of dishonesty and not walking in craftiness nor handling the word of God deceitfully. but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. You know, the gospel will help us to live a godly life, a holy life. It says, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Now, this is a sad thing. If our gospel is hid, it's hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine unto them. Who is it? The God of this world. Who's the God of this world? The devil. The power of the air. The spirit that's ruling this world, this wicked, restless, ungodly, evil, corrupt world. The God of this world, what's he doing? He blinds the mind. He puts wrong thoughts. Puts wrong ideas in people's minds. They got ideas about things. And they are strongholds. Paul spoke about them as strongholds. Turn down the stronghold. The imagination and the imagination of people's hearts, it blinds the mind. Yes. The God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. Lest the light is shining, but the devil throws a veil over the heart. He spoke about it in the third chapter about Moses when he spoke to the people. His face shone, and they couldn't want to look at that. So he put a veil over his face, and he goes on to say the veil is on their hearts. That's where the veil is. And that's where the veil is today when the gospel is preached. How do you take this little discourse tonight? What does it mean anything to you? Does it excite you? Does it attract you? The gospel? If it does, bless the Lord. That's what I want. But if it doesn't, God pity you. There's a veil over your heart some way. Probably some selfish, foolish desire and ambition or idea or thoughts that you have, and it's just hanging over you and the light can't pierce through. But I thank God for the gospel. The gospel can give us light. I'm going to talk not literal light. We thank God for literal light. But I thank God for the spiritual light. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And it says in the first chapter of John that the light has come. And light shines in the darkness, and the darkness comprehends it not. But listen, the light will shine, and it's light every man that comes into the world. Lord wants to light you up. Yes. That's right. He wants to light you up. You're like a candle, but you're more than a candle. He wants to give you light. He wants to enlighten your mind. He said in one place, after you were enlightened, you endured a great, terrible, multitude of afflictions, fight of afflictions. After you were illuminated, enlightened. Oh yes, thank the Lord. And then in First Ephesians, he speaks about, he said, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling and the riches and the glory of His inheritance in the saints, that you might know the greatness of His power to those who believe. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness, if you open up your heart, it'll shine into your heart. Oh, verse 6, what? Day sprang from on high. What's he got?
To give light to them
that sit in darkness. Yes, praise the Lord.
And the shadow of death.
And the shadow of death. Light shines into those sitting in the darkness. Now, you know, if you were in a place where there was no light and darkness was everywhere and there was no light, and I mean no light, you would be glad for a little bit of light, wouldn't you? I remember once, years ago, we went to Carlsbad Cavern, family. And way down there in the bowels of the earth, they had everybody sit down. And they turned the lights out. And we sat in total darkness. You couldn't see anything. You couldn't see if you tried to put your hand up to your eye. It was no light. None whatsoever. I remember that. What a terrible thing. Oh, you're glad when they finally turned the lights, started turning the lights back on. Oh, wonderful, wonderful light. Well, dear ones, the light of the gospel has shone in the world. Jesus, the light of God, He brought the truth. He spoke the truth of God. And He brought light to those in the darkness. He says in Isaiah chapter 9, it says, the people that sit in darkness have seen a great light. And them that sit in the valley of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. Oh, dear ones, when you're in darkness, spiritual darkness, when you're in gross darkness, ignorance and error, and all confusion and darkness, I tell you, dear ones, you need the light of God. He said in 2 Peter 1 there, it says that the day star arise. You do well, you take heed to the prophecies until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Isn't it wonderful? I thank the Lord for our son. I'm getting more acquainted with our son as I get older. I appreciate him. I see him coming up in the morning. Oh, the darkness after a while. The darkness flees away and the sun's just shining. Isn't it wonderful? The sun of righteousness. Malachi 3, I believe it is, or 4. Anyway, it says, unto you that fear my name shall the sun of righteousness arise with healing in his wings. And you go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. Praise the Lord. Oh, it's good to be saved, isn't it? It's good to be enlightened. I thank the Lord for the light that is shown in the darkness. Oh, I'm so glad that the day dawned and the day star rose in our hearts through the gospel. Oh, I praise the good Lord. I appreciate it. We find over here in Revelation, the 14th chapter, a scene that's very touching to me. I appreciate the goodness of God. I'm so glad for that. I heard the gospel preached, and the rugged, stern and true. And I saw Revelation 14 and 6, and I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people, saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to Him, for the hour of His judgment is come, and worship Him that made heaven and the earth and the sea and the fountains of waters. The gospel calls people to worship the Lord God that made the fountains of waters, the earth and the sky and everything. Worship Him. You know, dear ones, when you really realize how great God is, how He created the world by His power, and it brought forth the heavens by His word, and He gives life to humanity, and He has everything in His power, then you can humble yourself and worship before Him. That's the gospel. The gospel is telling you that you need to fear God and give glory to Him and worship Him that made heaven and earth, the sea and the fountains of water. Oh, dear ones, the gospel, the everlasting gospel to all the ends of the earth. People need to hear about it. I'm thankful that the gospel has been preached and helped us to see that we can have hope. I'm glad for the hope of the gospel. Praise the Lord. Oh, dear ones, we have hope. We're not afraid to die. No, we're not afraid to trust God until when you die. We're not afraid of that. Praise God, we've got a hope beyond the grave. How about you? You have hope? Praise the Lord. Are you afraid to die? Oh, thank the Lord. We don't have to be afraid to die. We have hope. The hope of the gospel. has shined in our hearts. Oh, this everlasting gospel. Oh, I appreciate the good word of God, the word of the Lord, the gospel that's been brought forth and telling us that we can have the victory over sin and self and the flesh and the devil and the world. We can be triumphant. We can have victory and peace. Oh, in our souls. We can have love. We can love people. We don't have to hate anybody. Praise God. The love of God can be shed abroad in our hearts. You can just love people. They can do you wrong, but you can just be have a good feeling. Pray for them. Ask the Lord to bless and have mercy upon them. Isn't that wonderful? That's victory. You can have victory in all trials and tests of life, temptations. You can overcome this old wicked world that we live in. All the styles and fads and fashions. You can live a holy life. Yes. Praise God. You can have your fruit. Romans 6. And it says, you have being delivered free from sin, you have your fruit unto holiness. And the end, everlasting life. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for holiness and the gospel. Praise the Lord. Aren't you glad to be saved? I'm so glad to go to service and worship with the saints and get a blessing to my soul. Oh, glory. Hallelujah. Not wanting to hurry up and get home and get out of here. I'm getting so uncomfortable around. No, just drink it in. Why? Because you have heard the gospel. The gospel has saved you and changed you. I thank the Lord for the gospel tonight. Dear ones, may the Lord help us. Let's just love the gospel. Let's welcome it. Let's be glad. Whatever the gospel of healing. You know, the Lord can heal our bodies and heal our soul. That's what a lot of people need. They need a healing in their souls. They're full of bitterness and resentment and sin and self and the world. And they just need a healing. Well, you know, he says, by his stripes we are healed. By Isaiah 53, the prophet, and then 1 Peter chapter 2, he quotes from that. It says, by whose stripes ye were healed. We can be healed. Praise the Lord. We don't have to be afflicted and down under the yoke of the devil. Jesus said, come unto me. All ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, and ye will find rest. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and you'll find rest to your souls. Praise the Lord. There's that Sabbath. We can have the Sabbath day in our hearts. Isn't that wonderful? Not just one day a week. That's not enough. You need it every day. You need this a Sabbath, and you need it every day. Oh, thank the Lord. Isn't it wonderful we can, we're not under the law, but we're under grace. We're not under the law of sin. We have been delivered from that, and now we have victory and peace. Praise the Lord. Ah, wonderful. Children, appreciate the gospel. When you hear the gospel preached, when you hear the word go forth on sin and salvation, when you hear the gospel go forth on Jesus and his resurrected life, and he's at the right hand of God. Oh, I tell you what, that's the most wonderful thing, that I have the privilege to go to the throne of grace any time, day or night, and pour out my heart to Jesus and tell him my burden and know that he's there and he will help me at the throne of grace. That's good news. Come on, let's go to the throne of grace. Have you prayed about it? Tell the Lord about it. It's a wonder he's opened up. He's opened it up for us. He's our high priest. He passed into the heavens at the right hand of God. That's what he's doing right now, interceding for you and for me. He's on the job day and night, 24 hours a day. He never has left it since he went up there over 2,000 years ago. He has never left his position as the intercessor, the high priest, the go-between. He's right there. Someday, he's going to leave that mediatorial throne, and he's coming to take us home. We have a hope. Paul said, I would have you, brethren, not to be ignorant concerning those who are asleep, that you not mourn and weep for those that as if they have no hope. But he says, if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, then also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this I say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we that are alive and remain in the coming of the Lord shall not prevent those that are asleep. For the Lord will descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of the archangel and the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up with them to meet the Lord in the air. That's a wonderful hope we have, isn't it? Live for Jesus. Don't miss that. We'll go up together with all the dear saints. Won't that be? Most of them is gone. We're a minority that are on the earth. But most of the saints have died and passed on. And they're over in glory. And someday they're going to come out of paradise. Oh, I don't know how it's about him. Lord's got it all figured out. He'll work it out and bring it all together in one happy throne. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Oh, as I get older, I get more serious about this. Oh, Lord, help me to be counted worthy. Help me to be counted worthy. I don't want to miss it. Help me to live for you, Lord. Help me to do your will. Be humble. Help me to be meek. Oh, that meekness, that's a challenge, to be meek. Oh, God, help us. Things happen. We react sometimes if we're not careful. Lord, help us to be meek. The meek will inherit the earth, he says, and delight themselves in the abundance of peace. It's a serious thing. Life and death. To live and to die. And then we'll meet our life in the judgment. Lord, help us today. But you know, the good news is you can be ready. The Lord can help you. Whatever your burden, whatever your trouble, take it to the Lord in prayer. That's your privilege. That's an opportunity. If you don't do it, who's going to be blamed? You. You had the privilege. You didn't go to the throne of grace. You didn't bow and humble yourself. Lord, help us today. That we will. This is the gospel. Praise the Lord. May the Lord help us tonight. I'm so glad that I heard the gospel. Means more to me now than it ever did. The Word of God, the truth. Just seem like just go anywhere. Psalms, Proverbs, it just seems like the gospel is right there. It's just wonderful. Amen. Pray for me.